Well, I want to start this morning to let you know that I've received a couple resources here recently, not too long ago, from Pastor Tommy Barnett. He's pastor of Phoenix First Assembly, and he's done a whole lot of other things too, mile-long list. But one of those resources was a message titled, What to Do If You Miss the Rapture. And this jumped out at me for a couple reasons. First of all, because Pastor Anna and I, we plan our messages. We like to know where we're going, just so we've got a good balance on our messages, you know, because we have kind of a natural bend to things, and we don't want to just kind of harp on the same things or preach the same things over and over. We want to stay true to core doctrines and preach what the Bible says. You know, if the Bible says it, we need to hear it. Amen? That's true. So we want to be balanced in our messages. So we wanted to bring an end times kind of message here to our church. The second reason is that this subject jumped out at me because ever since I was newly saved as a teenager, the idea of the rapture and end times has always intrigued me. Anybody like that, you know, where you're really curious, how's it all going to work out? And you try to study it, and because it's a future event, you know, it's just like, it could be this, it could be that. But it's just really interesting. And even when I was a teenager, a couple years after I was saved, I wasn't totally newly saved, but I still thought I knew a lot. And so I had a Bible study with my peers on Revelation. And I remember one of the parents of one of my friends was like, you're going to study Revelation? I'm like, why not? It's in the Bible. So we did. We had fun with that. And then one of my more goofy ideas, just to be honest, open and transparent with you, is that when I was younger, one of the thoughts I had that I could actually help bring about the second coming of Jesus. The time is 1996, and I was ready to vote for my first presidential election. And Ross Perot was a candidate. And for whatever reason, I thought if he got elected, he'd mess things up and bring about the one world government, and all these things would happen to bring in the second coming. I was 19. That's all I'm going to say. I thought I knew a lot, but that's just kind of goofy. But there's actually another reason, and I want to share that I want to share a message like this is, how many of you have seen the movie Left Behind? Left Behind, yeah. I actually hadn't seen the newer one with Nicolas Cage, which I kind of like Nicolas Cage. I have a weird kind of, he's not the best actor, but anyway. I didn't see that one, but I do like the Kirk Cameron one from 2000. It's been 17 years already since that movie came out. And the book, of course, is even older. But that book and that movie focused on, or it showed a scene where there was an associate pastor that after the rapture had happened, he had missed it. And he was stressing because he knew what was going to happen. But he remembered that his senior pastor had left a videotape of what to do after the rapture, or he was speaking to people in the rapture. And so I thought that was kind of a cool idea, and this isn't, you know, for my fame or glory, but it's my pastor's heart, it's my heart to shepherd and to care for people, that if there's any way that I could even reach out to people, cross the rapture time, you know, to speak into people's lives, then this is an opportunity that I want to take. You know, if they can help, if I can help someone after the rapture, then that will be an awesome opportunity. You know, many people have the idea that if they miss the rapture, that there simply is no hope for them. But there actually is. There is just a small glimmer of hope, but there is hope if you miss the rapture. Now, I'm not saying, hey, there's so much hope that you don't need to worry about it right now. Folks, you need to be ready for the rapture. You need to be ready to be taken up with Jesus when he comes back. Don't think that, well, if I miss the rapture, I'll make it. I said there's a small hope, okay? It's not as sure and it's not as easy then as it is now to be a Christian. So let me clarify briefly what the rapture is and how it fits within the end times. And I understand that I'm taking an approach that's pre-tribulation, and there are actually other points of view as to when the rapture will happen. This message isn't about that, and I'd be happy to talk with you about those different points of view. It's an open-handed issue, so we can have different points of view of when the rapture is going to happen, but folks, the rapture is going to happen, so we need to be prepared for the imminent return of Jesus. So, first of all, as I speak today, March 5th, 2017, we're currently living in the church age. We're enjoying the new covenant that Jesus came and established. But after all the prophecies have been fulfilled regarding the end of the age, the end of this age, the church age, the bride of Christ will be raptured or taken away from the church. That includes those who are living as well as those who have passed on before. There will be a trumpet sound, and it will happen instantly. It won't be gradual. It won't be like, oh, the rapture is happening. I need to get ready now. It's going to be too late once it's too late. After the rapture, there will be peace. There will be a peace treaty that will mark the beginning of the tribulation, a seven-year period before Jesus' physical revelation, his second coming, when he will literally touch down on earth. When he does that, he will lead the last battle of good versus evil, the battle of Armageddon. And after that battle, Christ will throw the devil into a bottomless pit, establish an earthly kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. And yes, God will judge every person. Those names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those who are not will be condemned to hell. Those who have put their trust in the Lord will be allowed into God's kingdom. So that's not everything that's going to happen. That's just where the rapture is going to happen first. And I don't know all the prophecies that have to be fulfilled, but I've sensed for some time now that we are close, closer than ever. And as I've transitioned more into this role, I mean, I did transition, not more and more. It's like you're pregnant or you're not. Like, I am lead pastor. Okay, so I'm not becoming more. But as I've gotten more comfortable and more, let God shape me more into how he wants me to be a lead pastor. It's like special things are given to pastors, special awarenesses. And I'm not claiming to have any insight of a date. I'm not going to claim a date at all. There have been people that have done that and failed miserably. I just sense more and more that it's going to happen, that it is so close. It could be before the end of this message. And I know you've probably heard that before, but I'm telling you, I didn't feel that before. And I feel it now. And I know that people will miss it. People who should have known better and shouldn't have missed it will miss the rapture because they weren't ready. And that breaks my heart. I can't imagine the turmoil that people will go through after having known that they should have made it and they didn't. The tribulation will be a time when God's judgment will be poured out like no one could even imagine. There will be a world war. There will be suffering, death, famine, and inflation, all resulting from the war. There will be earthquakes, massive forest fires, things happening to destroy marine life, a meteor strike that will contaminate drinking water. Stars will go out in the night sky. And this one really spoke to me. I heard something that I knew before, but in light of this message, you know, the stars that we see out in the sky, and you guys know I like astronomy, the stars we see out in the sky, some of them are already dead. They're burnt out, but we still see the light because it takes so long for that light to reach from that star to where we are. God has timed it out so perfectly that those lights will go out. We will see the evidence of those stars being burnt out at just the right time during the tribulation. That's how it's going to happen. Is because you might think, well, how are the lights going to go out in the sky? How are the stars going to go out? They're already burnt out. We're just not seeing the effect of that, and we will at his timing. There will also be hideous demonic creatures that will torture people, and all of those things will happen in the first half of the tribulation, the more mild half. That's going to be the easy part. I firmly believe that the only thing holding this world together is the prayer of God's church, the prayers of the saints. So imagine what will happen if God removes all of the praying people. Since Christ lives in us and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, you can see how the absence of Christians will change things. Of course, God is everywhere. He will still be everywhere. But he won't dwell where there's unrighteousness. So we can only speculate how he will be present, but it could definitely be said that his presence will be withdrawn. Maybe not removed completely, but certainly not as concentrated as it is now. It's going to be chaos. So what are you to do if you miss the rapture? Number one, don't panic. Don't end your life. Like I said, there's a small glimpse of hope. It won't be like it is now, but God will still be present. And that means that there will still be hope. Satan's lie will be that it's too late and that there's no hope for you. You're doomed. And that's why the first thing you need to remember is to not panic. The Holy Spirit has been on the earth and moving across the earth since the beginning of time, since before the creation of man. And he will always be here accomplishing the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit won't cease to operate just because the Christians have left. The Holy Spirit, after the rapture, will be operating like he did in the Old Testament. And we can look in our Bibles and see how the Holy Spirit was operating. He would move on men and women and anoint them to perform the job that they were to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to be doing after the rapture. He'll be reaching out to individuals, touching them, that they would want to know and come to know Jesus. There's still hope, though it will be faint. The second thing you should do if you miss the rapture is get your heart right with God. Because time will be very short, you won't have much time to get right with God. After the rapture, lots of changes will take place on planet Earth. Revelation 7 tells of 144,000 Israelites that will be saved and become evangelists. John, who saw this revelation by the Holy Spirit, speaks of them as being so many that they're without number. These are the ones who will remain true throughout the great tribulation. So if you miss the rapture, you might have the opportunity to hear one of these great evangelists speak and to get right with God. But don't put it off. Revelation 12, verse 11, sets the stage further. It says that they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So be certain of your salvation after the rapture. Decide early on to stay committed all the way through, even when torture comes, because it will. What's the next thing you should do if you miss the rapture? Number three, round up all the Bibles you can. It's very likely that Bibles will be confiscated. In fact, it's almost certain that that's going to happen, because when given the chance, that's what the devil does, to try to snuff out God's word. Those who are hostile to the one true God always round up Bibles and get them out of the way, out of the hands of the people. So get as many Bibles as you can, but keep one for yourself. Keep it in a safe place, because if you're found with one, you'll be put to death. And then with the other ones, give them to your closest trusted friends. People will be spying and ratting out Christians all over the place. So be careful who you give a Bible to. Be led by the Lord in who you give one to. So after you have a Bible, you need to read the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand them and to do what you should have done before the rapture, to pray, to study God's word, to grow in your faith, grow in your relationship with the Lord. The prophet Amos said that there is coming a time that there will be a spiritual famine, a shortage of preaching and teaching. People won't be able to hear God's word, and people will travel far and wide in order to hear it, and they won't be able to find it. I believe he's talking about this time after the rapture. But Jesus did say, and here's some of that hope, Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Just as people have tried to take the Bible out of circulation, they've been unsuccessful. God's word will still remain. Hide it even in your heart. Number four, pray. You can still pray or communicate with the Lord after the rapture, and prayer will help you endure. It'll be tough, but it will be possible, because Jesus said, "The one who stands firm to the end will be saved." He says that you can stand firm. And you will be saved, but it's going to take prayer. Because the Bible says that, tells us that it will not be easy to endure. We enjoy a great freedom in having so many churches that we can choose from here, especially in America. We enjoy the great freedom to worship how we want to and where we want to. So many options. But after the rapture, I doubt that churches will be left open very long. In an effort to snuff out Christianity, churches will be closed. So you must learn to communicate with God on your own. God will continue to hear prayers. If you miss the rapture, here's the next thing you should do. Number five, share this message that I'm preaching today with your loved ones. Tell them that it's coming. Tell them to be ready. I imagine that hearing this message would be eerie for a person who just experienced the rapture. But let me break through the wall and speak directly to those who are watching or listening to this message after the rapture. First of all, Jesus has returned just like he said he would, and he's taken his church to be with him. You've been left behind, but there is hope. You found this message, and there's hope for you, but I and every other Christian that you have known is gone, so you can't reach out for advice. So listen to this entire message carefully and share it with your most trusted friends. You need to surrender to Jesus right now and lead others to him. And then meet secretly with others. There will be a man who will rise to world power if he hasn't already. Don't be deceived to believe that he is going to cash in that promise of truth, that he has all the answers. It's only a partial truth. There will be 3.5 years of peace, but then there will be 3.5 years of hell on earth because of this man. He will be revealed as the one that the Bible calls the Antichrist or the beast. Your life will be threatened if you do not bow down before him. Others will do so willingly because he'll be charismatic and they'll be just drawn to him, and he'll actually perform signs and wonders, but he's a false prophet. So do not join the church that he's establishing. Now, I'd like to again speak to everybody here in service today. We usually upload our messages on YouTube on Sunday afternoons. So today, after this gets online, I'm going to send everybody a link that you can share with your friends. I want to post it on Facebook and tag as many people as you can. I want everyone here to share that link to get the word out, to get this message out, because everybody needs to hear this. And tell them that if they miss the rapture, they'll need to watch this or listen to this message, because they will need to know what's coming and how to survive. But I do know that our messages will probably be deleted and shut down. So we're going to try to do what we can to get hard copies so you can share DVDs with your friends and family, loved ones. The sixth thing that you should do if you miss the rapture is to be ready for the beast of Revelation. As I speak today on this side of the rapture, we don't know who he is or where exactly he'll come from, but we do have a good idea that he will come from Europe, crowds will cheer for him, world leaders will exalt him, he'll be charismatic and people will follow him blindly. He will have the worldwide fame and popularity of a superstar. The Bible tells us that he will make an alliance with Israel, and there will be peace during the first half of the tribulation, just 3.5 years. World peace will be his theme, and who doesn't want that? Especially given all the global chaos of all the Christians being taken away. So many people will have disappeared, and this man will come in and say, "I have the answers, join me." He'll be young, charming, and handsome. But don't be deceived. He is the Antichrist, the false Messiah. And lining up with him will cost you your life and your soul. I don't think he'll be revealed before the rapture. So if you miss the rapture, pay attention to Revelation 13, 14, and 17. Now here's something crazy that's going to happen. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will place an image in the temple of Jerusalem. According to Revelation 13, this image will be able to speak. That's how powerful he will be. Somehow, he will be able to give breath to it, and almost like life. Anyone who refuses to bow before this image will be killed. You won't even have to personally be in Jerusalem to be in the temple to bow down. It'll, of course, be broadcast worldwide on TV. It'll be the focus of the entire world. So if you miss the rapture, don't worship the beast or his image. Though it may look like your only option, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, death is better for you. Remember that you only die once. So no matter what they do to us, even now or later, no matter what they do to you, they can't take your soul. And God has promised you to take care of you and your soul for eternity. You only die once. What's the next thing you should do if you miss the rapture? Number 7, don't receive a number on your forehead or hand. Revelation 13, 16, and 17 tells us how everyone on earth will be given a mark in association with the beast. A number will be given to every individual, and they will be recognized by that number around the world, since it will be a one world government. It'll be necessary for everyone to present this number for transactions to take place. And if you dodged this number and you're not in their system, it will be impossible for you to buy and sell goods. We could speculate as to how this will come to pass and how things are lining up to that. But for those who miss the rapture, what's important is that the Bible says to not receive the number on your forehead or the back of your hand. Number 8, be prepared to suffer, because that's exactly what you'll have to do. And unfortunately, it's the only way that you're going to make it to heaven. I wish that I could tell you something else, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I wish that I could tell you that there's an easier way, but I've got to be truthful and tell you this whole story, that after the rapture, the only way you'll make it to heaven is to suffer. So why not get right and get real with Jesus on this side of the rapture? It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to say that you're a Christian, but why not actually be a Christian? If you miss the rapture, here's the next thing you should do. Be ready for famine. There will be an extreme lack of water, so be ready to wander from place to place looking for food. There will be such a great famine that grain itself will be worth more than gold. The 10th thing you should do if you miss the rapture, get out of the cities and into the countryside as fast as you possibly can, because the last half of the tribulation will involve nuclear war. So to cause the most loss of life, the warheads of the world will be aimed at the cities of the world. And if you survive the bombings, there will be devastation like never before, like you've never seen. If you're watching or listening to this recording after the rapture has taken place, move now. If not to escape those missile attacks, move to escape the blame and the manhunt that will ensued on Christians. Christians will be blamed for everything bad happening in the world. Plus, you can grow your own food in the country. What's the next thing you should do if you miss the rapture? Number 11, be aware of the rise of demonic powers. Demonic powers will increase like you've never seen. And I don't tend to watch horror movies, but it's going to make that look like kindergarten. They'll be released from the very bowels of hell itself to come up and torture mankind. Revelation 9:3 speaks of locusts that look and act like scorpions, likely superpowered due to demons. Also, don't participate in magic, witchcraft, or the paranormal. Don't join with everyone who calls what is right wrong and what is wrong right. Be prepared to suffer harassment at the hands of demonic powers. Again, with all the praying Christians gone, there will be nothing holding the devil back from making the earth his playground. If you miss the rapture, here's the final thing you should do. Be prepared to die, because you probably will. Even though you'll be tortured and put to death, again, you only die once. So after that is everlasting life. If you stay true, if you won't bow before the beast or the Antichrist, you'll be able to see Jesus. So don't shrink back. Don't renounce Christ. Don't give in. The Bible says of the faithful martyrs, they triumphed over him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Catch this. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. We love our lives. We love to be comfortable. We love to the pleasures of this world so many times. We don't like to do hard things. But when it comes time, when it's life or death, don't shrink back and say, I love my life too much. Life, as you know it, will come to an end. And then, if you're faithful to Jesus, you got nothing else to worry about for eternity. Don't love your life more than even death. So, folks, this isn't an Assemblies of God doctrine. This is a Bible doctrine. Like I said earlier, because the Bible talks about it, I want to talk about it. I love you enough to warn you about this thing that is coming, and it is. Some of you are thinking, if I miss the rapture, I'll just get serious about God then, and I'll make it through the tribulation. But hopefully you know now that it's a bigger deal than you might think. And friend, if you can't stand for God today and live for him when it's easy, how can you stand for God and live for him when it's going to be extremely difficult? Life or death kind of difficult. There will be hope for those who miss the rapture, but it will be so small. Why not start to live strong for God today? So come to him today while you have other Christians around you to rally with, other Christians that will love you and support you. You won't have to worry about their motivation. There's no moles here. There, like there will be later. Come to him. For some, it's either now or never. The countdown has begun. The hour is near to the coming of the Lord. Signs are being fulfilled. Israel is a nation. Earthquakes are already happening in places where there haven't been earthquakes before. Other than the grace of God to allow a few more people to come to him and enter relationship with him, I don't know what's holding Jesus back. In my mind's eye, I picture God with his arms stretched out, and Jesus is here just waiting. He's a bridegroom waiting for us, the bride. He's anticipating being with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to come and rescue us. He wants to be with us. And I just see that God is like, no, my son, there's still people that don't know us. There's still people that need to have right relationship with us. There are people that their lampstands have run out. They're not ready yet. They're not ready yet. If I send you now, there are going to be people that are going to be condemned. Because I'm true to my word that I said, if you don't have a relationship with me, that's going to be your fate. So no, not yet. Not yet. There's still time. There's still time now to get right with the Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, Lord. Thank you that there is still time. Thank you that in your mercy, you are holding back. And God, just as I said, I don't know all the prophecies that have to be fulfilled, and I'm not an expert in that, but who's to say that all the prophecies aren't fulfilled now, and you could come at any moment and be true to your word still? Your love is the only thing holding Jesus back. You love us so much. So God, I pray that if there's anyone here within the sound of my voice in this auditorium that doesn't know you, I pray that they would make that decision to follow you right now. In fact, with every head still bowed and every eye still closed, I would kick myself if I miss this opportunity. If that's you right now, that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, would you right now lift up your hand? Right now, you know, Pastor Rob, don't embarrass me, but I need to admit, I am not right with God. I don't know that I would make it. I don't know that I'd make it through the rapture. I don't even know if I would make it in the rapture. God wants you to know that you can know that you will make it when he comes back. If you don't have that assurance, I challenge you. No one's looking around. Every head's bowed. Every eye is closed. Would you lift your hand up? And just by raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor Rob, just pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not exactly right with God, and I want to be. If that's you, thank you. I see that hand. There's anybody else? Thank you. I see that. Just want to wait one more moment. If there's anybody, you're not sure that you would make the rapture, you're saying, Pastor Rob, I need to get right. Like you said, I've been taking it for granted. It's been easy to be a Christian by name only. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior so that I can know that I'll make it. That's you. Last chance. Raise your hand now. Thank you. Lord, I do thank you for these hands that were raised, Lord. Thank you that you love us enough to send us a message. You moved upon John. You showed him a revelation of things to come. You inspired him to write these things so that we would know that it's coming and that we need to get right. And so I pray for these folks that I know they know. I know they know what to do. But God, I pray that right now their decision would be real, that you would be the Lord of their life, that they would surrender things to you that maybe they haven't surrendered before completely, that you would be 100% their Lord and Savior, that they would just kneel before you right now and take every cue from you, Jesus, as the Lord of their lives. Thank you for these lives that are being changed, and for all of us that are being changed and transformed, Lord. Help us, God. Help us as we approach your soon and imminent return. It can happen at a moment's notice. Help us to be ready all the time. Help us to not let our lampstands burn out, but we want to be ready for you. So help us to continually add fuel to the fire, continue to add oil to the lampstand. Thank you, Jesus. And just bless us as we go into our growth group time, Lord. Bless the conversations that are going to happen, Lord. I pray that we would just be challenged again to be more like you this week, Lord. Pray for those that have to go, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them as well, Lord, that you would help us all to come back Wednesday and next week, Lord, and we would be able to rejoice in another week of loving and serving you and rejoice over the victories that we have because you are our victor. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to live for you, to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.